Access Pass. It's also the last week of April. It's the final week of the semester. I've just finished my fifth and final year at UBC, and so has our collective member, Katie. It's also my last week at CITR as the Accessibility Collective Coordinator. It's been a crazy adventure and definitely one that I will remember for the rest of my life. It launched me into a brand new world filled with amazing people and allowed me to bring my voice to the conversations about inclusion, accessibility, and equity for people of all abilities, something that I'm so, so passionate about and have been so grateful to be able to talk on the radio waves about. I mean, who can say that they get to live, that they get to go live on the radio and talk about what is most important to them? But before this gets too corny, I think we should give you a music break. Here's a sentiment of how I'm kind of feeling right now. This is No Sinner with Boo Hoo Hoo.
Ever since I can remember, ever since you know, I love the smell of whiskey, and I hate the taste of gin, but I always feel at home in a place that's soaked in sin. But I wanna leave it all behind if I could find me a man to treat me right. But until then I'm gonna do is just to hang my head and cry boo hoo. Boo hoo hoo, baby boo hoo hoo, and I'm boo, baby boo hoo. Well, until then, I'm gonna do just hang my head, and cry boo hoo hoo. I never was an easy child. My temper always flared, yearning for the feeling of a reaching out for something, what I just don't know. Searching in the arms of strangers, waking up alone. But I wanna leave it all behind if I could find me a man to treat me right. But until then what I'm gonna do is to hang my head and cry.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Molly McAllister. So tonight we're taking the time to look back and reflect on the Accessibility Collective, creating the show All Access Pass, and my experience with coordinating our magical group of human beings that are joining me tonight and the ones who aren't here. So we're reflecting back on the last 8 months. It's hard to believe it's been that long. We've seen the creation of our collective, the birth of the show, and all of the radio we've made together. So over 22 hours of content have been produced in that time, which is pretty amazing for a group of people who really didn't have that much radio experience beforehand. To give you the backstory of how I landed here in the studio at CITR with this lovely group of human beings and all the people behind the scenes, we have to flash back to September. In September, three new collectives came into existence because last year, a crew at CITR put together a proposal and sent it off to the Equity and Inclusion Office at UBC, and they pitched the idea for a program called All Our Voices. The vision for three new radio collectives. And luckily, the Equity and Inclusion Office listened and helped fund that. So the station hired three coordinators, myself and two other amazing ladies, and we were tasked with putting together teams of volunteers who would work together to create some amazing radio with the purpose of amplifying the voices of people who were traditionally underrepresented in mainstream radio and media. With that, the Indigenous Collective and their show Unceded Airwaves, the Women's Collective with their show Lady Radio, and finally yours truly, the Accessibility Collective, and this show, All Access Pass, were born. Except for DP, who had several years of experience at the radio station, the rest of us, including myself, longtime member Spencer here from the beginning, Katie, who joined us in January as a practicum student, and you will continue to hear her voice, and Nahid, our other practicum student, really had almost no radio experience. But you know what? We came in with an amazing attitude, and we all had a cause that we really cared about. And I think that's what really helped us be successful with this show. We definitely had some ups and downs and hit lots of bumps in the road. For those of you who've been listening for the last couple months, you've probably heard little blips or moments of silence or transitions that we've struggled with. But I think just as a learning process, it's been an incredible experience. And I am incredibly proud of how far we've come together. And I really look forward to see what we can do in the future as well. I might be leaving, but this show will definitely continue. And I really do want to stay involved in conversations about access, inclusion, and equity for people of all abilities, because I think it's something that everyone should talk about and that everyone should care about and promote in their daily lives, inside and outside workplaces and in the media, because it's a really powerful place to do so. So I started at the beginning of the week by sitting down with some of my collective members and asking them about what accessibility means to them and some of their favorite moments from being on the collective. So I'm going to start by sharing that with you. We're going to start by sharing a conversation that I had with collective member DP. So here is that for you to listen to. So right now as a collective, we're taking a moment to reflect back on the last year and the last couple months and even the last few weeks and what we've accomplished together. And I'm going to ask all my collective members to tell me a couple things about their favorite moments, what they've learned from being on the collective, why they have enjoyed it, what they wish to do in the future, and what they're looking forward to. So I think I'm going to start with DP. So DP, can you start off by reminding everybody how you got involved with our collective and who you are, just as a reintroduction?
Well, my name is DP Lale, and I was actually a part of CITR I'm working on my fourth year, and this collective was brought to me by the collective coordinator Molly, and basically you pitched the idea, and so I was like, yeah, this is basically what I've been doing for the years that I've been with CATR, discussing accessibility and this a disability aspect. So why not just move that into a weekly show every week on Thursdays?
Yeah, and when I came to get involved with CITR in September of this past year, DP was actually at my interview,
yeah.
And she helped because she's been involved at the station and knows a lot about accessibility. She was part of the interview, and so I met her before I even came into this role and had this job. So that was really neat that we ended up working together on our show
that
as
was,
well.
That was very good.
I want to ask, why does accessibility matter to you, as well as inclusion and equity and fair access, the type of issues that we talk about on our show? Why are those in particular special to you?
It's special to me because growing up, I didn't actually have all that. So I was just more in a box, kind of, because I didn't have the access to the information that was out there. And growing up, you change, right? You're out of high school, then you have to find your way around what you want to do. And I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. So, and accessibility is a big part in my life, having a disability. So what's out there for a person with a disability? How can they work around that?
Mm-hmm. To me, it sounds like this was an amazing combination of, A, it being an accessible space for people with disabilities to come get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, we have a physically accessible studio. We have a radio station that is so open to including people of all abilities in everything they do, the way they operate training, the way that they support everybody, the way that they encourage diversity and equity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that combination where you feel like you're included in this space, in the workplace and the community, but then also you get to talk about issues that really matter to you as well. So it's this great place of, it is an accessible space, and then it's also a place where you get to talk about accessibility.
Exactly. Like, growing up, I didn't have all this, but I can provide that for the future generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like the information that you're providing for a young child that's growing up, but maybe hopefully listening to CITR.
Yeah. Well, your voice is a very valuable addition to our collective, and so glad that you came to get involved.
Thanks.
Do you want to share one of your favorite moments you've had on the show so far?
That's a tough question, but I think my favorite moment was the whole TransLink aspect, because it's a big issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool for you, Molly, to do an interview with an MLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool, even the short notice. But she came on and she really talked about some of the issues that we are dealing with.
Yep.
And I thought that was really neat. Like, here's a big person coming to our speaking to our collective, and that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun story to cover because we had multiple perspectives where we got to interview people in the policy side of things that were helping people have their voices heard and trying to change what the government was doing and what they were doing wrong and the problems they were creating, as well as TransLink as a corporate company.
Yeah.
But then we also were able to share, as just community members and a diverse group of people, our own perspectives about how this issue personally affected
mm-hmm.
us, which I think makes it a really fun issue to cover, an important issue to cover in media. So that's fun. I think it's not a story that's over yet. There's still ongoing problems and ongoing issues with the TransLink and the bus pass program.
Hopefully we could discuss more about that in our future.
Totally. I'd love to hear more of reporting from you about that issue. What would you say to listeners who maybe have just been introduced to the topic of accessibility or just starting to learn about issues of disability and inclusion? So outside of just CITR, but just in life, I know this is a big question. Mm-hmm. What message do you want to carry forward to other people? Why is accessibility important? Why are topics of inclusion for people with disabilities important for everybody to tune into and everybody to listen, educate themselves on, and for people to care about?
The thing is, there hasn't been a lot of discussion on accessibility and disability. You've only seen the mainstream media cover the negative aspect. And what's unique about our show is that we can cover both sides and the positive and the negative, but also to give an actual education of what a disability is, because I think a lot of people can just give their opinions that this needs change or that needs change, but we really don't know why. And having you, who personally have worked with people with all abilities, and then there's Spencer, and then there's me, who's been living with a disability, it gives a whole new perspective, and I think that's what's missing. Okay, you are listening live on CITR All Access Pass. My name is Deepi. Another favorite memory I have and would like to share is when we did a live CITR fun drive show this past March. It was a great, fun, all-access pass show to do because we didn't really have or went on a solid script to follow along like we usually do on our every weekly shows. We just did our own thing and went along as a team. I thought us, as a collective team, seemed like we were having a good and fun time to bring an important cause to the air that generally mattered to us individually. If we didn't have a very generous listeners and people like you to support CITR and our Access Collective, we wouldn't be here or on air speaking to you. To top it off, we also surpassed our fund driving goal by more than $2,500. So, thank you to everyone who donated and everyone who tuned to listen to our show. Up next, you will be listening to Molly and Spencer's conversation.
Spencer, now I'd love to ask you a couple questions. Do you want to start off by reintroducing yourself to our listeners and talking about your involvement with the collective?
I've been involved with the Accessibility Collective since September, and it's just been nice for me to get experience with radio. I feel like I'm living out one of my lifelong dreams.
Would you say that you came into this situation with a love for radio and music, and then you got looped into the Accessibility Collective, and that's how you started adding your voice to the conversation?
I came across this opportunity through one of my friends. I thought it might be a really good opportunity for me to get my voice across, get my love of music across, and talk about issues that's really important to me.
And why are issues of accessibility important to you personally?
Well, I just think the issue of accessibility is really important to shed some light on. I mean, it doesn't get mentioned nearly enough, I find. Talking about accessibility and disability, it's almost like a taboo. And I just feel like it needs to be mentioned. And I feel that this show has given me the opportunity to share some of my thoughts and feelings about this subject, and I really love that I was able to use this as an outlet.
Yeah, we've loved the opportunity to hear your personal experiences as well as learn more about the research that you've done. You came in with a lot of knowledge about music, and you came in with some personal experiences, but you've also contributed a lot in terms of you've gone out and learned more about accessibility, and you've interviewed people, and you've been able to share that as a radio reporter, as well as being our resident DJ, for sure. That's a major contribution that you've made. DJ Spencer in the house.
Yeah.
And do you want to share one of your favorite moments or episodes that you've had since we started the show in September?
One of my favorite moments on the show was definitely like most recently when I came up with the idea of doing a mini series on sex and disability. That was really powerful for me to explore an issue that I'm like really passionate about. And I just felt like it needed to be talked about more than it already is. Also, I mean, I loved doing a couple of DJ shows, playing my favorite music. Yeah, I just love to play music, and I just love to get the word out on certain issues that I'm really passionate about.
And how would you like to see accessibility grow as a topic in mainstream media and as something that more people in the public learn about?
I would just love to see like people talk more about accessibility in an everyday light. I think it's a taboo topic, but it's a topic that needs to be addressed. I mean, and I would love to see it get addressed in everyday conversation without it being a struggle for some people to bring up, because it's completely normal. People with disabilities just want to be considered normal. We don't want people to focus on our disability, but we just want to talk about it so people aren't that nervous when that topic comes up.
What is one thing that people can do in their everyday lives to help make the world a more inclusive and accessible space?
Well, just taking like a couple minutes to maybe have like a conversation with someone with a disability, or just reach out and just start a conversation, because like once you take a few minutes, even like if it's a 3 to 5 minute conversation with someone with a disability, I mean, you could like really tell that we are people too, and we are not just the disability. We are just like everyday citizens like everyone else. So.
Sometimes you're even more than everyday citizens. You're also super rad people to hang out with and work with. So we have loved having you on the collective, and thanks for putting in so much hard work this year.
Hi. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Molly. I just wanted to reiterate how much this collective has meant to me. It's it's meant a lot to me that I've had an outlet to express myself and the issues that mean a lot to me. Thank you to CITR for just giving me the opportunity to be part of this collective, and I know that I will continue with this collective. I just don't know how that's gonna look right now, but until we figure that out, here's some more music. Here is Take a Little Time by Catherine Calder.
Thank you.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. I'm Spencer, and, considering that it's summer and supposed to be sunny and warm, thinking of beaches and sand, here is Faces in the Sand by Good for Grapes.
Some pigskin. This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports. 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 Sports.
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on 101.9 CITR. We are broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory, as we do every week. And right now, for the last week of this term, we are actually looking back on our memories and our thoughts regarding the collective as a variety of us has gone through a variety of roles with the collective this year. My name is Katie Tizington-Turner, and next up, we're going to be hearing my reflections on my experience with the collective as a practicum student this term, and this is my conversation with Molly.
All right, Katie, you're up next, and for our listeners, when my mic was off, I just said, "Oh, Katie," instead of, "Okay, Katie," so maybe that's our new word of the day. Oh, Katie, you're up next. Katie, do you want to start by reintroducing yourself to our listeners and talking about how you've been involved with the collective?
Sure. My name is Katie Tizington-Turner. I am friends with Molly, so I knew about the collective early on in last school term when Molly started getting involved, maybe late September, October, when you were hired. And I was interested in helping out, but I had a lot of extracurriculars and schoolwork going on at the time, so I didn't feel it was going to fit into my schedule. And I'm a little intimidated by the radio, but this term I was in a practicum course as a part of my gender, race, sexuality, and social justice studies, and I saw an opportunity, a very structured opportunity, that I needed to have volunteer work each week, and I thought, well, this is what I've been wanting to do since last term to help Molly out, and now I can do it as a part of my course. So I joined in January from the place of a practicum student and a friend of Molly.
So as a JRSJ minor, and a psychology major student who is about to graduate, and you're here doing your practicum with the Accessibility Collective, how do you think your JRSJ minor, and even your major, is connected with what you're doing on the show, and why are they a good combination for you?
Well, being a psychology major, I pursued that as an area of study because I would consider myself to have a fairly high emotional intelligence. I'm an emotional person, and I'm fairly holistic in my thinking, or I try to be, when I'm thinking about the different circumstances that people are coming from. And psychology places a lot of focus on mental health, and that's something that this collective addresses. But it also talks about things like culture and the way that you're raised and how natural elements of who you are that you're born with influence who you are. And so I see in this collective some of those things coming to fruition in the form of conversation. And being a psychology major and thinking about those things a lot, and being who I am, thinking about them, being surrounded by people that care about those kinds of things, particularly you having been with Easter Seals for the last few years and being introduced to some of those topics in a little bit more of a real way. Going into GRSJ just last year as a minor, I've
noticed a little bit of a gap in my studies when it comes to accessibility in this form. We talk a lot about financial access and cultural access and social access to spaces and how people can have trouble accessing spaces, not in a physical way or not in a cognitive way, but by way of not feeling that there is a safe space or a comfortable space for them. But we don't talk a lot about the types of things that we do on this show that are related to physical and cognitive access and disability justice, as one of our other collective members, Nahid, has called it. And I think that seeing the Accessibility Collective as an opportunity for my practicum was a way for me to kind of fill that gap for myself at least a little bit and bring that topic into my classroom by discussing my practicum every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've loved that you've been able to both bring the things you've learned here at the collective at the radio station back to your JRSJ class, but you've also been able to bring what you know from JRSJ in psychology to us here at the collective and on our show. And so it's been this really compatible, mutual, beneficial relationship, which we've loved having as an addition in January. Do you want to share one of your favorite moments or episodes that you've had so far in the last couple of months?
I haven't had the opportunity to have done as many episodes as a few of you have. And mine is quite recent when I got to interview Andrew Gerza. I think that was probably one of my favorites because he was so fun. And hearing him discuss his experiences, he was the person we interviewed for our bonus episode of Sex and Disability. And he describing himself as feeling delicious about himself now kind of captures why I would find it fun anyways. The use of the word delicious so frequently throughout that entire interview made it amazing. But also the fact that he's using kind of fun language like that, that you don't generally, you being the general world, don't generally associate with disability. And I really enjoyed the frankness with which he discussed the topics, not just sex and disability, but disability in general, and how he wants it to be a discussion that you can have a frank conversation about. And his circumstances might be different, as they are for anybody discussing certain dimensions of who they are and how they identify, but he is personally wanting conversations to be much more normalized and natural to discuss somebody's disability. He says that it's just a reality of who he is, and his identity as a queer cisgendered male is something that plays into that. And I think it's really neat what he's doing. He's got a podcast, he has a consulting company, he throws some pretty fun parties over in Toronto, and yeah, he was just a really, really fun fellow to speak to. That was very recent, but probably one of my favorite things that I got to do.
For all our listeners out there, I also recommend going back to that podcast. I believe it's our 20th show that we did that. 19th or 20th. We can post it again on Facebook. But it was a fun interview for Katie to do. She interviewed Andrew from Toronto. It was also a very fun show to listen to. They definitely had a hoot in their interview. And Andrew brings a really fun perspective to a topic that doesn't get covered a lot in media. And it's definitely one to go back and listen to. We'd love for you to go back and listen to all our shows, but I definitely recommend that one near the top of the list.
Hello, my name is Katie, and you're listening to All Access Pass on 101.9 FM. You were just hearing my chat with Molly regarding my reflections about my involvement with the collective this term at UBC as a part of one of my practicum courses. But we are going to take a break from listening to my voice and that of Molly, and we are going to listen to the sounds of Motel Raphael with this next song called System.
I'm sorry, I kissed you. I know that it's not fair. I haven't missed you. I just had to get it out.
my system.
Katie, would you say that your perspective on accessibility, inclusion, topics of equity for people with disabilities have changed since you've become a part of our show and our collective?
I would say that they've changed perhaps in the way that there is more breadth and awareness to my thoughts surrounding ability in general. I'm speaking from the perspective of somebody that hasn't dealt with a lot of cognitive or physical difficulties in my life. I'm not in a chair. I haven't suffered from too many mental difficulties. I've had a fairly privileged life, I would say. And in doing that, I haven't had the opportunity, rather, to work as a team with people that have experienced some of these particular topics firsthand. And I think hearing those insightful perspectives and stories that are lived experiences rather than somebody talking about them in an academic paper in one of my classes, the few opportunities that they've come up in my classes, or kind of discussing them offhand, because in elementary school and high school, there would be kids there that were living with different physical and cognitive abilities, but I didn't have the opportunity to learn their stories and hear what their experiences are like, because it's a whole elementary school and high school and middle school for anybody that did that outside of BC. It's a whole different thing coming to university and being exposed to these more insightful academic and personal conversations just by virtue of having so many different people come together in one place. I'd say that it's definitely, my perspective has been enhanced and has grown, and that's the way that it's changed. I don't think I went from, I wasn't on board with something and now I am, but now I have more to be on board with than I was before.
Yeah, your horizons on this topic have definitely broadened, and it's been interesting to see you both bring your voice to these issues and to learn more about them as we all have together, I think. It's not something where we came in knowing, you know, a certain amount and shared it with other people. I think we all came in and learned more through this whole process. We each had our own voice to bring, and together we learned more and we got to share our message. So it's been really fun. What's one thing that you think people could do in their everyday lives to make the world a more accessible and inclusive space?
Thinking about another one of my classes, the psychology of self in social media, we discussed how even though there is so much information on the internet and through social media that you can stumble across and you might think, oh, there's so much, I'm overwhelmed by it, we still tend to filter what we see on social media by following certain voices online. And I think that speaking from that perspective and thinking about all the different ways that we filter the information that we become exposed to, such as being a part of certain groups, following certain people online, reading certain literature, and all of that different kind of behavior, we can expand our own horizons further by choosing to listen to voices that we aren't naturally tuned into. So listening to a show like this and learning something new that you wouldn't have thought about before and reflecting on that. I think taking time to reflect on what you're taking into your mind is probably the most important thing. But I think one way to get that process started is to expose yourself to the voices and what's going on around you that you wouldn't otherwise be exposed to. So look for newspaper articles. Don't just skim over one that looks like it's talking about access and you don't really know anything about that topic, so you don't read it. Dive into those things and learn about these things that are happening around you, but that you might be filtering out because it's not a part of your world in a very natural way.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Molly McAllister. We don't have very much time left for tonight's episode, and it is my last episode, so because you heard all of my other collective members talk about their favorite moments and why accessibility matters to them, I thought I would just take a minute and do the same for myself. So reflecting back on the last 22 episodes and the last 8 months, it's really hard for me to pick one favorite moment. But just going back, I think some of my favorites were when I got the opportunity to talk to people in the community who really had a stake and were involved in issues of accessibility and inclusion. One that pops to mind definitely is the interview that I had the opportunity to do on the phone with the Nelson Creston NDP MLA, Michelle Mungall. She is currently a member of the legislature in Victoria, and she is working very, very hard to try and protest the new change to the bus pass system for people with disabilities. Just less than a month ago, the BC Liberals made a change to the system where basically people with disabilities are having their bus pass taken away. And if they choose to pay now the, instead of $50 a year, the obscene amount that's over $600, that also is cut out of their disability payments every month. So it's just, it's not a happy story, so it's hard for me to pick that as a favorite moment. But I think in terms of coming from a perspective of not having a lot of radio experience, but really having a voice, I think, that I can lend to issues, it was really nice to also speak to someone who is using their voice to advocate for accessibility and for equal rights, for equity. And it's been really cool to see that she's continued on that fight, and she hasn't stopped. There's people all over the province that have been arranging protests that go on, and she has been at all of them and really been driving hard to get that changed. And I really hope to see where she can take this, and I really hope that the government can reverse their decision. And it was a really fun thing to cover on CITR. Another favorite moment was way back in November, one of our first shows. I also had the opportunity to interview a lady named Pat Miranda. She is a UBC professor, and she's also the director, I believe, of CIRCA, which is the Center for Interactive Research and Collaboration in Autism. And we had a really exuberant discussion about the accessibility of post-secondary for students with autism. So I loved that moment because personally I have worked with young adults and children who have autism for several years, and it was really cool. I hadn't thought about before the accessibility of university. We talk about the accessibility of things outside of university, but we have to also remember that we are lending our voice to issues of inclusion and we're on a university. So it was really important for me to be able to talk with someone who knows a lot about accessibility for people with autism and bring that back and relate it to the university. So that was another favorite moment. And I do have to add, probably to top it off, the music therapy episode that we did was really, really fun. That was definitely a more joyous episode. We weren't hitting hard at an issue that we think should get changed. We were featuring people who are making really positive changes in the disability community and in the music community. So we had the opportunity to talk to Chris Brandt, who is the founder of the charity Music Heals, that funds music therapy. We also talked to my dear friend in Winnipeg, Aaron Koop, who is a music therapist. And that's, you know, I could go on and pick so many other favorite moments, but I think the thing I'm most grateful for overall is the opportunity I've had to work with such an amazing and diverse group of people at the radio station, all the support I've had from the staff, and all the fun moments that I've had with my team. So I have to say thank you to them, and thank you to our listeners, because you are the people who make it possible for me to go live on air and give me the chance to take a swing at this, try out some radio, and talk about things that really matter to me. I hope that you continue to listen to All Access Pass in the future. My crew will continue to do work throughout the summer, and they'll be helped out by our spoken word coordinator, Madeline, and I'm sure that they will do some really amazing things. I look forward to also being like you, being a listener. Thank you for tuning in this evening and for any past episodes you've listened to. You can also go to citr.ca to hear all of our podcasts of the episodes we've aired in the past. It's been an amazing experience being on the airwaves every Thursday and contributing to the conversations on accessibility. And I think we'll end things off poignantly without you know, further ado, I will say that an end is simply a new beginning. So here is Boy with This Is the Beginning.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is